Dartha in a Pickle. Hi, welcome to Actual Play, the podcast. This is Stars Without Number, episode 4, part 1. And we're opening up here, picking up right where we left off last time, with Dartha finding Sinclair in her room. Up to no good, man. Sinclair is not the person she thought they were. And it was a fun cliffhanger last time, and I'm excited to see how that all plays out. Also, early on in this, Jay brings up safety tools, and it's something that we've talked about offline a fair amount, but not something that we always bring up on screen. And I think it's really important that you do periodically in actual play games. We'll talk about safety tools either at the beginning of a session or when we're implementing them. And I think Jay shows a real keen sort of thoughtfulness here in knowing that something might not be okay because it violated sort of the player agency and player autonomy of their character. Not so much that such a horrible thing would happen to the character as much as, players have one way to sort of act on the world, and if Jay takes that away from Tomes or puts conditions around that or wraps or limits that, then I really appreciated him being really thoughtful in it. And we had a discussion before the stream, but you'll also hear pretty early on we have a discussion in game as well, sort of go into what we're thinking and making sure that everyone's really fully buying into it. I really appreciated that. I'm glad we put it on stream. And that's just the beginning of the action. There's also Hope and Atlas's hijinks. So strap in for a whole lot of fun and scary times on Tarakon Station. Hello, welcome to Actual Play, Stars Without Number. We are back. We are here to find out what the heck's going on with Sinclair and get into the juicy bits of what's happening on Tarakon Station. But before we do all that, I'm Sean. I use he, him pronouns. I can be found everywhere at Sean Nittner. I'll be playing Hope. She is a precog pilot who just had a cool precog cyberspace duel with a psychic, but then he like used his psychic vampire powers to like clone her teleportation and disappeared. It was freaking sweet. I'm very excited to be playing more of Hope and find out what's going on. All the things have been happening on the feed vine. I hope people are watching the feed vine because the feed vine is epic and cool, and I'm going to try and interact with that some more today. As a channel notification, until further notice, all of our the money that we're getting from the channel is being split between Black Lives Matter and Trans Legal Defense Fund. If you want to support them by giving us cheer, giving us subs, that's cool. If you want to support them directly, I'll put a link in chat. If you want to help out in non-financial ways, I'll put a link in chat for that too, because you can help out any which way you like, or any way that's available to you. Anything you do, we appreciate. All right, that's my very long intro. How about you, Dominique?
Hi, I'm Dominique. I use they, them pronouns, and I'm playing Atlas, a 600-year-old AI who, well, he was asleep for 600 years. He's older than 600. And I am excited to find out what the Dr. Long of Fear knows about AI and is keeping from us, and to eventually meet Dr. Long's great grandfather, who we recently awoke from cryosleep. Also, I can be found everywhere at Dom S. Dickey, and by everywhere, I mean Twitter. I'm only on Twitter these days. Tomes, how about you?
Hi, Tomes, Tomer, he, him. I will be playing Dartha, which is our lithomorph, which in our universe means blob, space blob. I said the word blob twice because that's important. I'm just excited to see what happens next. Every single episode has been a treat, and I'm loving to explore my relationships between Dartha and these other lovely individuals, specifically Hope and Atlas right now, because that's a big part of what Dartha, what she's kind of trying to discover about these new people, for reasons unknown. And now we've hit a snag. So as far as the real world, yeah, you can find me probably on Twitter and a couple different communities and that kind of stuff. So.
Nice. What about you, Jay?
I am Mad Jay. I am your tour guide to the stars without numbers and this massive black hole that we mine. You can find me on MadJ0 on Twitter. I love everything about this game. This is the game I look forward to in a 14-day cycle. So I'm glad we're doing this. This is awesome. What I want to start with is, one, we left Dartha in a pickle with Sinclair, right? We're going to pick up with that. Before we jump into that, let's talk about our character goals. Let's run through those real quick, and then we'll jump right into what's going on with Sinclair and Dartha. I will recap that.
Sounds good. I realized I did not update the stream. I did not update the episode number, so I just fixed it. It's episode 4, and I just call it Dartha and a Pickle. I think it's a good one.
That is a good one.
If you tell me later that this episode has like a name you got in mind, you let me know.
It did, but it's now Dartha and the Pickle.
There we go. I'm about it. I will start pulling up the character sheets, but while I do that, Dominique, you want to do goals?
Yeah, sure. I did not update my goals on the character sheet that's on Roll20, but I have them written down.
All right.
My short-term goals are to learn more about how social relationships function for Dartha and how she perceives our friendship. To talk to the super ancient Dr. Long, which I don't think we're going to get to tonight, and to hound the Dr. Long of Fear for more info on his background with AI, because I spoke with him in the last episode, but I feel like he's holding out on me.
I feel like Dr. Long of our time has been holding out on us the whole time.
What if we confront him as a group?
I don't know. I feel like we need some dirt on him. Like last time we're like, what's up? And he was like, no big deal. And then he was like, oh, I happen to have just been like receiving an award for advanced understanding of AI, which you are, which is stupid rare. Exactly. It's like, oh, I studied this one neutron star. Oh, I'm that neutron star? You think maybe we could talk? No. I feel like he's been a cagey guy. I think we got to get some dirt.
There was also quantum erasers. He very much felt like I'm the guy with the PhD. Like I've got pre-med and rocket science, like all mixed together exactly. Or something weird.
And he's like, and I'm just gonna be cool. I'm just gonna be on the DL.
Like, not to overinflate my ego, but I'm pretty cool. And he was like, not at all freaked out about meeting me.
You're kind of a big deal.
Meeting me is kind of a big deal. I'm an AI.
Right.
You are. You're a we can't make AIs like you anymore.
Yeah.
An awesome intelligence.
Pre-tech.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's next for goals?
Go? All right. So first of all, I was able to get a meeting of my compatriots' current and compatriots' perspective last session. Compatriots being like some term I'm using to mean weird blob communal relationship friends. And it didn't go so great. It wasn't bad. Believe me, as a blob, I'm like, oh yeah, this might be kind of normal. You know, especially getting all these weird aliens together. But, you know, there's room for improvement here. So my first goal is to try to strengthen this, what feels like a non-existent bond between at least Clack and Hope and Atlas. Originally, that was also including Sinclair, but as we know, that's going to change a little bit, maybe. One of my goals is, of course, Sinclair. Like, what the fuck? Like, what does this mean, right? And also, like, how was I duped? Right? Because like this relationship thing is a very strong bond. Like, what does this mean? This situation we've fallen into. So that's a thing. And find out what Dr. Long is hiding from me. I don't know if this is the same stuff that you guys are feeling or not.
I think at least something's going on.
But I'm happy to wait and find out.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to rush and find out. I'm happy to dive into it. So my goals are, I want to find out a little more about what's going on the station. What's behind the escalation between Erdos and Jan? Like, as much as Dr. Long and fear and all of that stuff is central to the action of our game, Hope came here because of a war she wanted to, if not prevent, at least not accelerate. And it seems like it's accelerating way faster than it was before. So there's all this stuff, there's all these juicy tidbits that Jay has been feeding us on the feed vine, and we've been out in black hole space the whole time. And so I wanna dig into those. So I wanna find out what's going on between Erdos and Jan, like why things are accelerating, if that's the Order of the Mantis, if there's like a third like party involved, or a fourth or a fifth, I don't know. You know, if there's another person pulling strings. I also wanna answer the distress call on the feed that was sent out to Hope and find out if that's still something going on. And then I have a goal that says, what's going on with Sinclair? I got to keep Dartha safe. But I misunderstood, and I thought that Hope was with you and she saw that. So I think I want to change that to just say, like, what's happening on Landing Bay 8? Because they've been talking about the Squidlies and the attacks, and something's happening on this station exactly. So what's happening on Landing 8? And that's, so it's pretty much all stuff driven by the feed vine, because I am curious. I want to know.
And I got to say, I'm a big fan of Kevin Crawford's faction stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say at least 3/4 of the feed vine comes out of faction turns.
So. Very cool.
But what a great way to do it. Thanks, Jay.
Yeah. But your presentation of it is such a lovely syndication of the information. Like, it's right. Very clear that we're not getting all of it, but it's not that you're holding out. It's that's the way you pick up. That's the way you get these tidbits, these little feelers, these leads. Mm-hmm. They're like, there's something there. If you want to poke at that, you know that there's something interesting. I've been playing a lot of Sherlock Consulting Detective. And there's lots of things in the newspaper there that you're like, is this related? Does it mean anything? Or is it just garbage?
And right. Nice.
Good stuff. So.
All right. So we left Dartha in her room with Sinclair. When she walked in, she could see the mobile unit, the drone that moves Sinclair around in the middle of the room. But Sinclair's orb form was raised above it, kind of floating, and it had like these finger-like tendrils, long, maybe as long as 2 meters out from the core of the body, just floating and moving throughout the space. And all around the room was a projection, kind of a greenish-blue hologram projection of Dartha's point of view of the experiences the first time you went to the vault. So that scene, that moment where you guys are trying to get through one door into that tank room, right? And away from the folks that are chasing you. That's what Dartha sees when she comes into her room, that Sinclair's in the middle of that scene, and that scene is playing out moment by moment, voice by voice, everyone in their place laid out. She's just kind of walking through that memory. And then when Sinclair becomes aware that Dartha's in the room, like an eyeball kind of opens up from the back of the sphere. And that's when Sinclair, in its modulated artificial voice, it says, you should not be here, right? I think that's what it said, you should not be here. And then I think Dartha has a flashback.
Yeah, I think we have a flashback. Let's do that. So we've seen Dartha before, back when she was a little slightly smaller blob in the academy. In various forms, but this one's even a little bit different than that. She's in an academy uniform, which she would wear despite the fact that she's a blob. She doesn't really need to wear a uniform, but you know, they sometimes get into the shape that other humanoid type creatures with limbs and stuff are comfortable with and will wear uniforms. You know, it's good for appearances in their culture, and I'm serving on their ship. So, but I'm back at home. I'm on a different planet. I'm surrounded by blobs. Like, I'm on leave, right, from the academy. So if this is after I've met, you know, my captain, Amanda Wolf and some of the other scenes that we saw. But here I'm talking to somebody, and we can tell there's something different about this blob. I mean, straight up, they're like the kind of priest, philosopher, whatever. But we can tell just because they're adorned differently in strange ways than the other blobs around them. So there's something different about them. But mainly, I'm sitting there saying, I want to bond with others. I can feel the affinity to these others. And this person turns to me and says, you know, we don't bond with them. And every time he says bond, like the word actually doesn't come out as bond, but subtitles, it says like bond or, you know, whatever, right?
The special lithomorph word. You can't actually say it in our language.
Yeah. I can't pronounce it because I'm in this form, I'm human. And he says that, or they say this lithomorph is like, they are not built to be part of what we have. They will invariably disappoint you, or worse, they will take advantage of it. And you can tell I'm listening, but I'm also kind of, I've made my mind, right? And then we come into this.
Sinclair moves from its base, floating, getting into Dartha's personal space. The tendrils kind of circle around Dartha's space, not touching you yet, but kind of encroaching on your space. And it says, what did you find out there?
I don't immediately answer, but I say, Sinclair, we are friends, are we not?
Yes.
Because I have to say, my first instinct is I feel a little bit threatened right now.
You're fine. What did you find?
Your add-on question does nothing to allay my fears. We've been together a long time. I need us to take a moment here. And I stop for a moment and I'm like, but wait, are you under imminent threat of harm right now?
All
right. And like, I'm looking around,
right,
like,
right.
You know?
Right. So there's like a glittery kind of dust thing, right? That comes off of its tendrils, right? And then as much as it can, it softens its voice, but it's not really soft, right? And then Sinclair says, we are friends. Everything is fine. Share with me your memories. What did you find? And I need you to make a mental save.
Okay. Two things. Mm-hmm. First, scene-wise, I'm definitely like, as I'm looking around for the threat, because I'm taking it seriously. Like, maybe Sinclair doesn't have time to be, you know, chummy and friendly, and right. There's something threatening Sinclair. I mean, they may still totally be my friend.
Right.
You know, but I'm looking around and the first thing we see is the glitters, right?
Yes,
and we don't know
yes.
where it's coming from at first.
Right.
And like, we can see, like, I'm kind of like almost reaching out for it. And then we see it's coming off of Sinclair, right? And then
right.
we hear that thing. The second thing is we did have a discussion prior to game. Do we want to talk
yes.
about that right now?
Yes. Okay.
So, and Jay, do you want to?
Sure. Me? So, in the spectrum of gaming, certainly for me, there's some safety tools, and we don't see enough of them live on stream. But at cons, I will usually lead with the X card. And when we get to a situation like this one, Sinclair has some abilities that are going to block or take away some player agency from Tomes. And so before the stream, we talked about that. We talked through that. Because I haven't played with this combination of excellent folks before. So we had to get on the same page about how do we play that out? What is good for everyone? And that's the same thing I do at conventions because we usually play with strangers or folks we don't know. My normal weekly table, we might have a shorthand version of that conversation, but today we were explicit, very explicit, nothing shorthand about what we're going to do here. Because if Tomes does not make this save, Sinclair has mechanical abilities that will take away some player agency in the vein that a lot of OSR games have. So there's like charm person, right? And if you use it on a player, right, there's some things that you are not allowed to behave or do as that player while you're under that spell. And that's taking away some agency stuff. And that can be serious. So it's worth talking about.
And I think,
yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna say I think a lot of like PBTA games will handle those with softer tools. Like,
right,
you'll get XP if you do what they want. You know, you'll have to act under fire if you try to resist what they desire. You know, you put these kind of like softer barriers. And OSR games are just like, nope, you're now possessed and you have to, no, I don't think that's what's happening, what's on the plate. I don't think it's like you right. lose complete control. But yeah, OSR games tend to be very flippant with the notion of autonomy. And so yeah, I think it's really, really good to bring it up because it's important. It's our one avatar of the game, is our character.
And we decide, like I said, that I don't personally have an issue with this particular scene or, you know, kind of direction. We made sure that everybody else is kind of cool with it. And I think we're going to proceed. So unless anybody else has got something to say, I'm happy to roll some dice. What do you want me to do? This is a mental save?
This is a mental save, yes.
Okay. I'm going to click on a button.
And then I will tell you some things, since you are a Metasonic.
Wow. 17.
So much for worrying about that.
No doubt.
We failed and we could see what happened.
No doubt. We're all getting excited.
So I think...
So this is a success, right?
This is a success.
I would love for this success, if you're open to it, not to be just that, oh, I inadvertently don't come under Sinclair's control. It's more that, oh, I see what Sinclair's doing.
Right.
And I'm hearing what Sinclair wants.
Right.
You know, if they reveal it, and I will not be under the control.
Right. So I think it plays out exactly like that. I think Sinclair is unaware that he has no control over you, that this isn't working, right?
Awesome.
But more important, I think, because you're also metapsionic, you also know that this ability, this thing that's happening, is not about psionics. And that's a new experience for you.
Yeah.
Most of these things have been psionic behavior or nature. This thing is not. You can feel that it is not. What do you do?
What is the physical sense, or what is the sort of physical sensation? What is Darth experience? Doing?
Yeah, I think it's a slowing of time a little bit. Things kind of mellow out. A kind of euphoric. Yeah, this is great. We're all together. We're buddies. Everything's
smooth jazz.
Yeah, smooth jazz. Like a kind of like a smooth outro. Everything's nice. And so you feel that, but you don't feel compelled to obey or follow or listen to what.
Yeah, it's like somebody found out that humans like a candlelight and a nice dinner. Like they watched a couple of romantic movies they bring you into the room and put all that stuff there. And then they try to tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. And you're like, doesn't really work exactly like that.
Right.
Like I feel that comfort, but like I'm also not falling for whatever Sinclair is trying to tell me to do. But I would like to know what he's telling me to do, either now or depending on what you want to do next.
Right. I think it's clear he is going through what happened from your perspective while you were on the ship. He's looking for something. He hasn't disclosed what he's looking for, but he's hoping to get that out of you. And he seems to believe you have the answers to what he's looking for. And it's far quicker for you to tell him than him to sort through your experience out there.
So I think I already start talking in this kind of like, we can hear a change in my tone. Mm-hmm. I am enjoying these feelings that he's giving me, right? Like he's making me feel like warm and happy and loved and trusting. So I feel that. And you can hear it in my voice that I'm talking as if it's kind of soothing me in a very deep way. But my question to Sinclair after he's like, tell me what you found on the, you know, and he's like, oh no, everything's good. Tell me what you found on, you know, in the vault. And I'm like, how do you do that? How do you do this? And how do you see my memories? Cause like, and I motioned to that hologram that we kind of saw or whatever was going on, right? Like, I sound like I'm starting to fall under this sway, but really my questions are about these other mechanics.
Right. He says, we are ancient, we are old, we are fractured. All matter is sentient. I'm merely sorting through your memories from the matter that is in your room. But it is faster if you tell me, what did you discover on that vault?
That is fascinating. And what's the glitter?
I love that that's got to be the moment where Sinclair's like, all right.
Like, yes.
I would die.
I feel
for
like,
Dartha. Like, not even in character, like, I, Dominique, would die for Dartha.
And I think, I think Sinclair's becoming impatient, and but he's not sure the gig is up or not yet, right? And he says, did you find AI?
And in my last question, when I asked about the glitter, you know, I was kind of like expansively moving pseudopods and kind of like moving around the room. It looks like I'm almost kind of drunk or something, right?
Right.
And I finally I get closer to where my desk is. It doesn't even look like I was going to a specific location, right? And I put one pseudopod down and I'm like, I'm afraid that's confidential. And my little like part of a finger of a pseudopod like hits the emergency button, like there's an alert. And we just hear some klaxons like go off.
Right. Nice.
And it's like being an important member of fear, I imagine you have.
There's a red button in the room.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a panic button.
Yep, there's a panic button. How tall is Dartha?
I would say anywhere between at the extremes between 3 and 5 feet, but usually she's about 4 feet, but very wide, a wide blob creature.
Gotcha. All right.
And very heavy, like super heavy. And if you look again, stats wise, I'm like very strong.
Right.
You know, relatively speaking, I think our species is very strong. I'm not personally super strong, but you know, like we're heavy and strong. It's a lot of like muscly, it feels like muscle tissue. I mean, we don't have muscles because we blob.
Just a dense blob.
Protoplasm.
The vision I always have is the first things you fight in this ancient Nintendo game, Dragon Warrior. And it's like blue blob, red blob, and they're like, and they're kind of, and that is what I think of when I think of Dartha, but then just like pseudopods sort of coming out of it.
Right, coming out of it. That's nice. I think what happens is Sinclair retracts all the tendrils, right? And we'll leave the room, right? Back out of the room, back out into the hall. We're leaving its base behind, right? When it decides to take off and leave, the base kind of has a series of bars that light up from the bottom. Maybe they're three sections, green, just strips, and they go do, right? And then the top just starts blinking. And we all at home watching TV, we know what that means, right? What do you do?
Man.
When Sinclair leaves, is it like, pew, I'm out? Or is it like, okay, cool, you got me, I'm leaving.
When the klaxons go off and the emergency, the alert happens. So I think Sinclair's been putting on the dog for everybody for a long time, right? I think idea is that he needs this drone thing to move around, and he does not, right? Mm. And so once it retracts its tendrils, it's this sphere that just shoots out of the room.
And it shoots like he leaves the room and he's shooting it back into my room, right?
No, I think he just left the drone behind. He left, right, the, base he left behind.
The drone behind.
Just right. In my room.
Right.
Okay.
And the drone is kind of activated and it's going to explode.
Yeah. I think I have an idea of how I would handle that. I'm actually curious if we want to come back to it.
Meaning, right, like, away from that.
I'm gonna do a thing, and I'm happy to roll to see if it's successful or not, to see what the outcome kind of looks like.
Right.
But I'm also happy to like switch scenes temporarily.
Yeah, no, we can do that. We can do that.
And we can hear the explosion. I'm totally down for that. Like in any of your scenes, feel free to like
have an explosion. You're definitely not trying to stop the explosion. Good to know. Good to know.
Nerd.
What I want to know, if we're switching gears for a bit, is the last scene before Dartha returned back to her quarters and found Sinclair there was myself and Hope, Dartha, Clack, and Sinclair. Okay. And I want to know like how that group conversation ended and if it went back to myself and Hope talking. Because before Dartha brought Clack and Sinclair over, the two of us were talking about my interaction with Dr. Long. Right. And I want to know, did we establish, like, and I guess we can just retcon this, did we establish any sort of like plan to approach him again? Because he's obviously lying.
Yeah, no, let's just play that out. I think that's but I think we cut back to that night, we hung out, and then we all split up. And I think it was Atlas and Hope, like, they're on their like fourth drink. They've been talking for a while, or at least Hope is. I don't know if Atlas drinks or not, but
I don't know what alcohol would do to Atlas. Like, I feel like Atlas doesn't drink because Atlas is just a tank. Like, it wouldn't do anything.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that they've been, you know, it's late and they're still talking. I know Hope is very distracted. I think she's looking at the feed vine she's scanning through it, and she's like tapping it, and she's like trying to do like ID lookups, and she like on some of the people to figure out more about them, like look at their profile and stuff like that. And she looks up, she's like, I'm sorry, Atlas, and she sets it down, like she's trying to pay attention, but this thing keeps distracting her. Yeah, no, I agree. I totally think Long is holding out on us. I just don't know why. Like, he sent us to do this work, and it seems like it behooves him for us to know what we're doing. And it seems like he keeps just giving us little morsels of data, just enough to do the next step, but not enough to know really what's happening.
I don't know enough about like how he works. I feel like, I know that you haven't been here for very long, but you've been here a bit longer than I have. And I don't know him well enough to like, to be able to see how outside of the norm this is. But I just get the impression that he's hiding something big, and I don't know how to go about getting that information out of him while preserving him as a positive contact. Because I mean, I don't know how to get him to talk without suggesting violence.
I don't think we should beat up the old man. I don't feel like that's the answer.
No, absolutely not. I'm just running out of ideas because, you know, I went into his office, I cornered him, I got him to have a conversation with me, and he really didn't reveal all that much. So I'm not sure, what do you do after you try to talk to someone and they hold out on you like that?
Yeah.
I sat him down one-on-one and he continued to lie to me. So I don't know what my next step is.
Well, sorry that I'm not going to hit this head on, but like as a bit of context, Hope like flips back over the data pad that she was looking at, and she like swipes it up, and she sends it over to you, and you see the feed vine bit, and it shows things about Irdos, a terrorist attack on Irdos, and then she kind of reaches across the table and like scrolls to a little bit about Leviathans, being, you know, like somebody having like a ship, like having some Leviathans. And then she kind of like scrolls through a thing. This is help me. This is hope question mark. And a couple, she's like scrolling through a couple feeds. She's like, you know, we've only known each other for a little while, Atlas, but I already, you know, feel like you're somebody who cares about me and I care about you. Hope is definitely a little, like, she's not drunk, but she's a little looser than normally. And so when she says like, I care about you, there's like a little, like her voice modulates, her voice drops a little bit. Like she didn't mean to put as much inflection in it as she did. She's revealing a little more here. She's like, but I didn't come here to like find you. I mean, I didn't know you existed. I came here to prevent Irdos or Jan from getting a hold of the tech on the orbital platform. I didn't want them to get pre-tech weapons. I didn't want them to get those nanites. I didn't know they were nanites, but I knew there was something there. And I thought as long as they didn't have access to those, you know, their aggression would just kind of keep being little skirmishes, little things, but they're like gunning at each other. So not to say that I don't care about Dr. Long, but like, I want some answers too. And I think, you know, I came to him saying, I want to stop this fight. And he's like, yes, I want to help you. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to get to the stuff first. But I don't think he cares about that either. He doesn't seem to be reacting to these aggressions. So I guess all I'm saying is we have different reasons for not trusting Dr. Long and for wanting more information on him, but I think we both do. And therefore I think you and I should perhaps perform some subterfuge, some.
You want to break into his office? Let's do it. Let's break into his office.
I think we should break into his office. I mean, I just learned that I can kind of just teleport, and I've seen his office before, and I think I can just go there.
Yeah, I'll be your lookout. Let's break into his office.
And I think we should just see what we can find, because we both care about this.
I mean, yeah. He's been lying to both of us in different ways, but probably for the same reason. I think that whatever he's keeping from the both of us is probably connected in some way. So I think that if we can figure out one of these mysteries, then we'll be able to solve something much larger, whether it's why he's been lying to you or why he's lying to me. But he's been terribly dishonest, and it seems like he knows a lot that could affect both of our lives personally and the war more broadly.
Yeah. Let's just be alert to the stakes though. All right. Cause they're high. For me, I've got like a 3 million cred bounty on my head that Long has said he's going to take care of. If I piss him off, I'm a wanted defector. I go from a person in debt to, you know, a dangerous threat. And then Hope kind of gets closer, like scooches over to be right next to Atlas for no other reason than to be people to hear, not because she's sort of hoping to rub up against him a little bit. She's totally hoping to rub up against him a little bit. And nobody knows besides, I mean, Dr. Long is one of the few people on this station that know you're not human. That could be bad if that got out too.
I'm sorry, that was hilarious.
Sorry, I'm trying to play this like slightly drunk Hope. She's not.
No, I know, I'm so into it. I feel like Atlas would go like hand on the shoulder, but hand on the, not like around, like hand on the
hand on the closer shoulder, which is like the very friend move.
Yeah. And it's like, I know, I'm kind of freaked out about what would happen if people found out. I think we should just, if we're going to make a move, we should just do it.
Okay, I think we should do it too. But if it's okay with you, I got to at least try and find out what's going on with all this comms on the feed. So like with the data pad in front of you, so that you know like exactly what she's up to, Hope is going to reach out to at mhero1 and send a DM. To who sent the Hope Some specters just wiped out our entire mole operation hub. Vivian, Lance, Carol, they're all dead. You gotta come get me. No one knows I survived. And so she sends like an encrypted transmission, you know, MHERO1. And it's like, this is Hope. Are you still out there? And I don't know if that's a kind of instantaneous, she would get it immediately, or if that's send it and maybe she'll get it in a little bit and send a reply, but.
All right.
But yeah.
I think.
Can I just say one thing? Like this entire time, I kind of feel like most of our characters that we see on the space station, Dr. Long and Hope, and you know, you hear different kinds of like accents. Cause I mean like space, right? And you're away from like a couple hundred years, like people are gonna have accents and different like mannerisms.
Yeah.
But every time Atlas comes on, I feel like, I mean, Atlas, it's like 600 years ago, right? Like what was the language like then?
Right.
And I feel like the language is like very casually what we as players are used to today. Like, yeah, let's break into his office. And it sounds like us. And we're like, oh, that's what 600 years ago sounds like.
Nice.
I sort of get the feeling that Atlas like could try to modify his speech patterns and could do it pretty easily. But just hasn't made the effort. And the way that he speaks dates him, unless you just assume that he's from somewhere pretty far away.
Right.
I also think that Atlas would like lean over towards Hope and be like, we can't tell Gartha, can we?
I don't think she would help us. It's that I don't want to, if this goes bad, she doesn't deserve for it to fall back on her. She has been honest with us. And I don't think she knows anything more than we do. And I think, I don't know exactly the terms of her being here, but frankly, you and I are freelancers. We are new to this. And if we have to go somewhere else, then so be it. This is Darth's career. This is her life. I don't want to mess that up for her.
Maybe if it goes to plan, we tell her afterwards. But for now, I'm sure she's got...
She's got other things going on. I'm sure she has important stuff going on, or maybe she's just getting some R&R.
Yeah. I mean,
everybody needs a little, just, you know, time to be human. And Hope again looks with these kind of dreamy eyes at Atlas, and then she's like, "We should probably go."
Alice is like mission oriented. What are you doing? We have a job.
Well, she isn't saying anything. So I think, I feel like the camera picks up on a lot of it, but I'm not sure how much Atlas, like I've been watching a lot of Legend of Korra, and all of these people are like always looking at each other super dreamy while the other one's like, yeah, you're right. We should totally go invade the power plant. Yeah, absolutely. And like, just don't pick up on it. So unless you want it, I can imagine a lot of Hope's very subtle gestures and looks of longing are just kind of like when Atlas happens to turn away, you know, like right. not.
I feel like Alice, like, I mean, I imagine that like beauty standards have changed because it's been 600 years, but like Atlas like knows he's hot, picked this body because it was hot. But is also very like a little bit socially inept. So a lot of it is like, even though he has brought this treatment upon himself, it's going over his head.
Nice. Perfect.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I think we're going to, Jay, unless I get an immediate response, I think we're going to head out, you know, and I'll check the pad later.
All right. You're heading out to Dr. Long's office.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. And if I'm correct, Tomes, Dartha has a plan, but it has nothing to do with activating the bomb. The bomb is going to go off.
Yeah. I do not have that skill set.
Okay, cool. Because my thought was, what I'd like to do then is cut to Atlas and Hope in front of Dr. Long's office. The bomb goes off. They have a decision to make. And then we'll cut back to Dartha to find out what actually happened.
Nice.
Okay. I like that.
Awesome. Right. And so, yeah, that's how that plays out. You guys get in front of Dr. Long's office. You know, he's out, gone, whatever. Let me do this first. On your way there, Timothy catches up with you. He's been drinking with some friends, right? Mm-hmm. And there's some small talk, right? He's not super drunk, but you know, he knew when to quit, so he's on his way to his quarters, and yeah. He kind of slaps you both on the sides. I'll catch you tomorrow at work, whatever, right?
Yeah.
He's leaving, right? I think you guys are hitting some work corridors, right? And somewhere in there, you pass Raven. She's coming from the bays, and she's in her combat gear, right? Well, she's in combat gear. It's not the stuff she wears when she goes out with you guys. This stuff is like a dark, deep purple. From the helmet to the chest armor, the plates, the equipment, the auxiliary stuff, the belts, it's all kind of matching. Even her rifle, which is bigger, different than the one she normally carries, it uh-huh. matches the whole combat uniform. And there's kind of like a stylized owl, right, on the breastplate and on the shoulder plate. And she walks by with her helmet kind of tucked under her arm. And she goes, I'll see y'all tomorrow, right? And she's walking past.
I hope is like a fashion show?
Like... Alice is just happy to have been acknowledged because I know that Raven doesn't like me. And I also don't think I know enough about the operations of the station to know like what the different... Like, I don't think I've seen her in uniform enough to clock that it's a wildly different uniform.
Gotcha. Yeah, Hope gotcha. Definitely does, and is trying to put the pieces together.
Multiple jobs that I don't need to know about, you know? I feel like maybe she's, like, working the night shift somewhere else.
Moonlighting. This is her side hustle.
Yeah, that's exactly what Hope thinks, is that it's a side hustle. And she, like, as we're walking, she pulls back up her little clear data pad, and she, like, swipes it across, and we see, like, the profile for Owl at Dawn. And she's like, and then slips back again. It's another person we've seen.
Nice.
Who knows?
And then we see you both in front of Dr. Long's office. And then you hear I think
before it goes off, I imagine there's a little bit of conversation of us trying to psych each other up. Like
right.
Like, let's I'm like, react. Okay,
how do this?
Let's, we should do this. Here? We definitely should do this. We've got comms, and you're going to tell me if anybody's coming, and I'll just beep burp, you know, I'll just bamf in and out, and we've got like and Hope is clearly very nervous. She's like, I don't want to fuck this up. I don't want to get in trouble.
So good. You're so good at teleporting.
No, I'm really not. I actually just kind of learned it's a thing I could do, but I think I really, really want to. It's going to work. I mean, so far it's only really happened under moments of duress.
Do you want me to like stress you out before?
No, I don't. I'm already pretty stressed out. This is also pretty scary. And I was hoping.
Go around the corner and jump scare you if it would help.
Jay, if it's okay with you, I think that would be the perfect time for like the alarms or the right. whatever right. the reaction is. I was just sort of.
Right, so I think if we're the audience at home, we know Dartha hit the alarm, right? But I think it's a silent alarm. Only certain folks get that alarm, right? So I don't think it's a station-level alarm, right? So we don't hear that. But we certainly hear the explosion, and we feel the station kind of, depending on where you are, rock a little bit, right? I think the closer you are to it, the more you feel. So I yeah. think you folks at least feel a tremor kind of roll through where you are.
Yeah. Does Atlas like look behind him to see what might have caused it, or does he look around?
I feel like as because you were like, gotta be stressed to do it. As soon as stuff starts shaking, I'm like, go, and then yeah. start looking to see what's happening.
Yeah, I think you look. I think you look back when you and you look back, Hope's gone.
Like, okay, because in that immediate moment uh-huh. of like something's off here, Atlas is like, you just gotta do it, yeah. and then looks away, looks back, Hope is gone. I love that.
Nice, nice. All right. What do you do, Dartha?
Oh, you're muted, Tones.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I guess one of the things I wanted to know, so I know what I'm gonna do. I'm kind of happy for them to stumble on it. And that's, I guess, the question is like, can, like if anyone's coming, Like, would they stumble on this thing, this situation? This is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get protection from local furniture that I know can possibly handle the blast, because I know what this equipment is made out of, this station.
Right.
Right. And I know which pieces are more vulnerable than others.
Gotcha.
However,
gotcha.
It's not like something was built to be a bomb shelter in the room, right?
Right.
So, like, it's extremely risky. Like, if I've miscalculated, mm-hmm. I can get very, very hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, I judge that I won't die either way, yeah. I hope.
I have an idea, Tomes, if you're interested in.
Sure, I'm always down to hear ideas.
Well, so we know that Erdos and Jan are black hole mining, and they like pull like very heavy metals. They pull all kinds of weird things. And I think you've described yourself as being very heavy, being very dense. And so traditional like human furniture might not be made very well. So I imagine this like chaise lounge, but that it's really, really wide. And it's made out of some like super dense black hole metal that you know was like a big expenditure for you to get it from Jan or from Erdos, like. But it was like this thing where you can like blob out and like watch the vids, and it's just like it's super super sturdy because it needs to be able to like hold your weight. You know, it's one of the few things you can get on top of, but it's also big enough to kind of get underneath or get behind.
In a normal kind of bed situation that it would handle a human, for example, like within a week, it's all sagged down. Like it can't handle that weight. No, I'm 100% down for that.
Nice. I like that.
So yeah, I think I lift this thing or otherwise get behind it to protect myself from the blast. And I think I'm totally happy if this is like a roll to see how successful, like, is there harm? How much harm? That kind of thing.
It is. And it's in an evasion save. Is what you're going to make.
Let's do that.
That savey save thing.
Had good luck with save so far. Let's see.
Until now.
Not this one, my friends.
Not this one.
So that is a 3 versus a 13.
Nice. All right. I will let you roll the damage.
I like that disclaiming of responsibility.
Yeah. I know, I like to do that. So I can say, it wasn't me, you rolled the dice. Well, I mean, you did it, right? It is 3d6.
That's a lot of damage, oh
it
god.
It is. And you will take all of it, yes. Yeah.
This is awesome. So I rolled 3d6,
mm-hmm.
I got a 15.
It's an exceptionally good roll there, Tomes.
Thank you. And that is a lot of hurt.
Dartha
is a fairly sturdy individual though. And so she's got 16 hit points.
Oh my goodness.
I feel so bad for Dartha right now.
Oh. Oh,
so wow. I think we understand like what kind of condition we're gonna find her in.
Right.
We're not dead.
Yeah. a wrecked condition, yeah.
So
someone not dying, that was very stressful for me. I'm glad you're not dead.
That was stressful for me too.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if you have 15 hit points.
But I also think that means we know the room is just totally trashed then, right? Right? What, and the bed probably took as much as it could take, right? So I think that also informs us what that room looks like when we get there, right?
I think that bed is cracked in half.
Right.
Like
right.
The force cracked it. And some of that went through, right?
Yeah.
Is there like bed shrapnel like in your blob?
I 100% think so. Yes. Okay. I think, yeah. And I don't know if it's the bed, like maybe it's other stuff from the room. It doesn't matter. There's shrapnel in my blob body.
I mean, the good news is like you're a blob. So like individual impalements and lacerations are probably less serious than they
are. Yeah, it's less serious than like humans. Like imagine if somebody could cut off your arm and you feel all that pain, but you could also put it back and like slowly heal it over a while. Yeah. Like sure, it would still hurt like somebody cut off your arm,
right,
but
right.
You can heal from it. Unlike humans aren't as good as that. But yeah, it fucking hurts. So there's shrapnel in my body and one of my pseudopods has been severed at a certain like endpoint. And you know, we're not like humans as far as like blood and guts and stuff, so it's not quite that. But yeah, that's a severe amount of damage.
I think a lot of it gets out of the room too. So I think whatever the door is, right, it's ruptured and it spills out into the hole some amount, right?
I can't believe Sinclair was just like piloting a bomb around all that time.
I imagine among other things, right?
You know, right, I was going to say among other things.
It was probably had a self-destruct unit or something like that in it, but it, you know.
Well, it's a you know, it's like registered, right? It's like a registered nuclear accelerator because it needs to float them around. I mean, sure, it could be a bomb, but like, that's right. It's not registered for that.
Right. Nice.
Okay.
So yeah, that feels like it would rock the station.
Right. So I think it rocks the station, right? I think depending on where you are, you feel some of that. After that happens, I think there are different levels of alerts that are happening. The closer you are, the more that they're moving you away from that zone. Where other areas, they're like, hey, there's some stuff happening, but you don't have to evacuate. So I think there are different levels of alarms like that throughout the station.
Tomes, on the Roll 20 map on Tarakan Station, I just sort of arbitrarily like started putting some locations there. You know, the station manager, where the docking bays are. How close do you think Dartha's quarters are to Long's office? Do you think we're nearby?
You're muted, Tomes.
You're still muted. You're definitely muted.
Oh boy. So close by. That center part of the station?
Yeah.
Not far.
Got it. Excellent. Okay. So yeah.
That's exactly what I said verbatim. I just repeated that.
It's what it looked like you were saying. Close by. That center part of the station. Nearby. Yeah, so I think we definitely feel it. You know, I can imagine lights flickering on it, very Star Trek style, like
right.
You know, you were rocked, some things short circuit and power on, power off. Hope is terrified. But I mean, she kind of, as soon as, you know, Atlas said go, she bamped into Long's office, and she's, you know, she's going to keep looking around and see if she can find out. Go to his desk, rifle through it, flip open his data pad, see what he's been up to.
Nice. You touch his desk, and the office AI, which isn't like an Atlas AI, right? It's more of a assistant AI.
Mm-hmm. Is it actually an AI or is it VI? Is it like
a VI? Yes. There we go. Yeah. Yes. It asks for the access codes. It acknowledges you as Dr. Long, but then it's asking for your password, essentially.
Oh, right, right. I'm really good at this. I can definitely fake this. I'm like, Dr. Long is the best. Pound X, the pound 44 EE8. Hold on. I try to like spell like nerd in like hexadecimal or something like that. You know, like, but for real, it's like, I think Hope is kind of scampering. And then I think maybe I can make like a no roll to see like if I've ever been around while he has accessed it. Like I've met Dr. Long enough times that maybe I've been in that. Like there's definitely some wrong answers she gives, but maybe she has the right answer.
Right.
I think the question is how many wrong answers does it let you give?
Yeah.
Yes. That, yes. Yes.
I'm pretty sure if I fail the roll, the answer is not as many as I took, you know. I'm sure I would have gotten on the next try. Does no feel like a...
No, actually it is program.
Program.
Ooh.
I am
be program.
Super not good at that.
Because that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to hack, bypass, spoof, guess.
Yeah, that's super... I'm super not good at that. But you know who I think is good at that? Is Atlas. So I'm going to... this is all within 30 meters.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna like pop back out and be like, Atlas, password, what do you think? And then like whatever I'm Atlas says,
going to have like a startle response to you just like popping right next to me.
Right.
Do you ask me what it is, or do you like, do I go in?
No, I mean, unless I can open the door, I think at least for this, I'm sort of doing this for comedy, is that I'm bouncing back and forth. I'm like,
okay.
Atlas, password, tell me what you think. And then I bounce in and I try it. And then, you know,
roll it if I know what it is.
Yeah. Is that cool with you, Jay?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, that's fine. That works.
Yeah. And I think I'm going to try and help you, even though I'm sure to fail, because it makes absolute sense that I'm going to be complicit in your failure, or I'm going to be probably the recipient of the failure. So
that means you roll first, right?
I'm going to roll first. I will probably fail, but it doesn't hurt you if I fail.
Right.
Program just... with intelligence, the modifier?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so hope. Program, not strength, intelligence. What is the difficulty?
So the difficulty for the program roll is 10.
10, okay, I do not, I got an 8. I did not help you.
I hit it.
Yes! Atlas does it!
I know password!
So yeah, I feel like it's got to be that like it. There's three tries, and on the third try,
right.
That's so exciting.
Nice.
And is it like you know the password, or you've guessed the password, or is it like you've guessed how to circumvent the VI because you know that they're stupid?
You know, like an override code.
Isn't it like I know that VI are inferior and incompetent, and I'm able to give you like a very. Like a very simple access key that would just get the VI to shut up.
Nice. I'm like execute override codes, backdoor entry protocol, omega alpha blah blah blah. Or at least that's what Atlas said. Hold on, I gotta get the last part of it. Bam, bam. Okay, there we go.
Done.
I feel like that should also, if this is cool with you, Jay, be like the thing that not only unlocks this, but also like physically unlocks it, and you see, like, you know it works because the door opens.
Right. No, I think in the office, the door opens. I think the lights come on.
Nice.
I think different screens in Dr. Long's office comes on, right? I think his chair even kind of moves to the right height, the right tilt, that kind of thing. As if, you know, it's all a smart office and it's accommodating Dr. Long's preferences.
Nice.
I think Atlas, you're outside and his door, you can hear the mechanism kind of unlock.
Standing by the door waiting, chilling, vibing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it just kind of, you know, it's open, right?
Right.
And when you go, well, I think when you come in, Hope is like sitting on Dr. Long's chair. Like, she's trying to play it cool. She's like, oh yeah, we make a good team, Atlas.
Nice.
Okay.
What is the, sorry?
Like, let's just start digging.
Yeah,
like,
what's the... I cut you off again. Go on.
No, go for it.
What's the physical form of the AI, of the VI, rather?
I think it's just all audio. I think it never... Yeah, it doesn't project a form. It's all... which, I think most VI... again, I feel like there are a lot of preferences, right? So if you've got a room VI, you can go in and fiddle with it and... create a look for it and a voice for it and all those things. And Dr. Long has not done any of that, right? It's got whatever the factory voice is and it's got no visual, right? And that's
love it. Love it. Yeah, Dom, go for it. You were talking about digging. Let's do it.
Yeah, I just want to see what we can find. I don't even know what in particular to, well, I want to see, because he won that award. And then when I asked him about his work with AI, it just totally didn't mention it. But from Feedvine, I would know about that.
Yes, yes, you would, yes.
So I think what I would want to do is try to find out more about, like, what did he win the award for? Like, what was the work, like, the... what is the actual body of research that won him this like super sick science award?
Right. Let me pull up my feed.
It seems like a very innocuous thing to lie about. It seems like he's so small that there's no point in lying, but he lied. So I want to know what is it worth lying about? What is
Are you talking to the VI to get the information, or are you like digging around through files? Are you on screens?
I feel like I would like plug in a comp pad.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably still have the one on me that I got from the pre-tech vault, and I would plug it in, and I can, and I would sort of do like a command F for a certain file type, and then just like download the files that I thought matched what I was looking for, and then sort through them later.
Gotcha. Yeah, so I think you see his papers, his research, his, I think the raw data notes before, you know, I imagine, I'm not a scientist, but I imagine there's a lot of research, draft material, there's a lot of stuff that you start down and you toss, right?
Yeah.
Before you get the finished paper that you submit and everyone reads and, oh, this is beautiful. I think there's a bunch of other stuff before you get to that final thing. I think you find all that other stuff. And a lot of that is his notes and thoughts, his evidence stuff, research stuff, the hard data for VI, but that material is far beyond VI stuff, right? He's into trying to recreate, or it looks like, lay down the baseline of how true AI were made, right? What all goes into that? He's trying to reverse engineer what we understand now and figure out what we've lost, because a lot of folks can't rebuild. You can't be rebuilt today.
Right. So he's trying to reverse engineer the process of like how true AI were created.
Right.
To be able to replicate that process.
Right, there's a lot of that in there, right? But there's certainly a lot of work in AI brakes, right? So he's advanced the technology for putting brakes on AI and increasing those brakes, right? And so there's a lot of, I wanna say like AI defense type work in there that is solid stuff. And that body of AI braking work and VI enhancements is what he got the award for. But I think, I think at this point you figured out that that's prestige and money and influence for him. So he threw them a bone and they love it. It's a great bone, but that's not really what he's doing, right?
Okay.
His body of work is way bigger, way deeper than that. So he may have done that to keep fear on the radar, to keep influence happening, to keep connections happening, playing the part, keeping up appearances. That's what that was for. But the body of work that he actually has on file that you've downloaded is far deeper than that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I have one more thing that I want to look for while I have the files open, but we can pivot to what Hope is doing.
Uh-huh. No, go ahead. You got the files open.
Yeah. I want to look at of his sort of research notes
mm-hmm.
that he's opened the most recently uh-huh. so that I can get a feel for what he's currently actively working on.
Woo! All right. So let's cut the Hope.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be good. That is,
folks at home, this is a solid GM move right here.
Right. Yeah.
Learn from the best.
Yeah. So Hope, what you're doing is all compad, direct related. Cope has no interface tool. So she's just talking to the VI. She's like, VI, what's your name? Is it Drusilla? Is it Frank? What's your name? Like, I forget. I'm Dr. Long and I forget what I call you. Does it have a designation?
I think it gives you like a string of serial numbers because Dr. Long didn't even I couldn't.
Exactly. Okay. Name, right? All right. Cool. I'm gonna call you Ed. All right, Ed. Eerdos and Jan, what is going on with those? Tell me what files do we have? What files do I, Dr. Long, have on the recent conflicts between Eerdos and Jan? What do we know about the peacekeepers? How about the Order of the Mantis? What about, and she's a little frantic, like, I don't know, maybe this VI can like spit out information super, super fast, but she's asking questions like a mile a minute to try and find out just like what's been going on. Even if Dr. Long has anything to do with it, because if he has nothing on it, then that tells her for sure that he just didn't care. That what didn't matter to him. So, but anyway, yeah, she just slings a slew of questions, which is essentially my invitation to you, Jay. to like to expound upon any of the faction turn stuff that you've hinted at in the feed vine. Please.
No,
please.
I will do this. I'm going to monologue. It'll be short, right? But it'll be compressed, and then I'm going to cut the Dartha. So I will take no questions after I monologue, because you both asked some awesome questions, and I'm going to leave you something to think about.
Great. I love it. I will zip it.
So I think at home, right, if we're watching this TV show, right, we see Atlas flipping through screens, digging in. We see that first payload, and then Atlas moves to a deeper research, right? At the same time, we see Hope asking those questions frantically, trying to figure out how to phrase a thing to figure out what Dr. Long knows, right? In the room, maybe, I don't think we definitively know what triggers what, right? But what we see is Dr. Long's office is kind of open plan, right? I want to say in the middle, the floor kind of slides open and this table, maybe 2.5 meters, comes up, right? I don't know, it's kind of big. You could probably put 2 bodies in it, right?
On it, both,
right? Because it opens up and the inside kind of comes up, right? And there are, it looks like human parts, right? But there are mechanical parts there as well, right? And it's kind of like it's being dissected, right? It is a male form, maybe about 2 meters tall, 6 feet tall, right? To Hope, it looks human, but to Atlas, right? It's made of the same stuff Atlas is made of, right? That's what comes up. Huh?
That's trippy.
Right? The next thing that happens, so I think Atlas sees that, because Hope, these screens come up in front of you in response to your questions, right?
Yeah.
What you see are 2 teams in the same dark purple kind of armor that Raven had on. One is hitting an Erdos airfield, right? The second one is hitting what looks like an Erdos kind of lab. In one screen, they're fighting off. Actually, you see them kind of obliterate Erdos forces, right? And another one, you see Erdos troops fighting Yan troops, fighting these purple combatants, right?
Uh-huh.
Right? And you see that last one play out, I don't know, less than a day ago, right? It's kind of a 3-way battle. You see those purple folks murderize the Eros troops and the Yan folks kind of get away, right? It looks like they were both trying to put a grab on the Yan troops, but they ended up getting away in this side. So it's a 3-way fight. Mm-hmm. No one's on the same side. It's just brutal. It's nasty. And the purple folks walk away from it, right? They have that same purple armor on. In fact, I think, before I leave you here, I think you see as they fall back to whatever, you can't see their ship, but you know it's there. It's kind of off screen. You can kind of see some of the owl, stylized owl insignia on like some of the shoulder pads as they walk off the screen, like walking away like that. You see the owl right there. You kind of freeze the screen, right? We cut to Dartha, right? I think...
So good. So good, Dre. I want so much more. So good.
A table with human parts in it, not on it, in it. Crazy.
Why is he saying the table fits 2 bodies in it? Oh.
Because there are body parts in it.
Yes.
On it.
Oh, God. Fantastic.
I think we cut to Dartha, right? In Dartha's exploded room, we see Raven. She hasn't changed out of her purple suit, her purple combat suit. And there are some other technicians there also, and they're kind of digging stuff out. And she specifically is looking to see if Dartha's in here or not, right? And then I think she finds you, right? And they get some medical aid to you. Some folks are trying to do some forensics, what happened here. Play things back and that kind of stuff. But Raven is trying to get you out, get you some help.
Yeah, I think she finds me under that tore up like couch. You know, she's the one who probably like pulls it over, and I'm there kind of behind it, under it, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a part of her, maybe when she first sees me, is like, you know, are you okay? Are you, you know, what are you doing? Shouldn't you, you know, like, is kind of like mm-hmm. trying to figure out. And I'm actually conscious, like my voice actually comes out completely clear, right? Despite the fact that I look pretty tore up.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, I'm in the process of healing the best that I can, given that I couldn't move this extremely heavy piece of furniture off of me. And like, we can actually see like one of my pseudopods has been dismembered, but like, I'm like scabbing it over with my weird blob skin. Right. And, you know, some other stuff, right? So, like, you know, I'm conscious, and I'm just trying to do my best to, like, not bleed out until somebody can come help me.
Tomes, I love that your arm kind of disappeared in your virtual background, so we sort of got dismembered Tomes' arm.
Yep. That's awesome.
I design.
I think Dartha's been with Fear long enough that they know, they have an idea of how your biology is, right? And so I think there are, in fact, I think it's Timothy. He comes running in last, and I think he brings the things that Dartha needs to heal, right? I think they can't use human stuff on you, and they know that, and you've been around long enough that they have the right things to qualify as first aid for you. And they do those things. So it's Timothy and Raven there trying to apply first aid and help you out. And she asks, what happened here? Who did this?
I unfortunately trusted someone who shouldn't have been trusted. It happens sometimes.
I wonder if Raven is like, was it Atlas? Was it Hope? Like, I totally wonder if Raven is like,
just say Atlas, I will handle it.
Could handle me.
And I think when she says that, I'm like, those two are completely trustworthy.
Oh, and no, she doesn't say that.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That's just me fanficking Raven right now. Sorry. It's
awesome. Writing fanfic of the campaign as it is happening.
Yes.
And I don't think I even say anything other than I just give Sinclair's like identification. I just start saying like Sinclair ID this da da da. Like I just start saying stuff that identifies who I'm talking about.
Right.
Because you know, like I don't want to waste time. I'm not, you know, right. And I know she's ready. She's ready to get that information and like move on with it. Right.
Yeah. I think she
like
walk
down the base or whatever. Like maybe it's not too late. Maybe it's late, but like. Right.
I think she and Timothy exchange a look like, what? Sinclair, right?
Yeah.
So she's looking at Timothy like, is she okay? Right? Is she all right? Right?
I get angry. Later? This is the first time we've seen Dartha in an equivalent of like what we would maybe interpret as anger.
Right.
And I'm like, lock down the base. Like there's an impatience there. There's a command there.
Right.
There's a stop dicking around and take care of this.
Nice. Raven kind of gives Timothy a hard squeeze. To me, take care of her, right? And then Raven's going good work.
Sick.
Love it. So, Jay, Tomes, I have this thought about your physiology, and please feel free to accept or reject any part of this. But when I herniated the disc in my back, the doctor, the spinal surgeon who I was talking to, was like, it's like you have this like thick membrane jelly pad in between each disc, and it ruptured and the stuff in the side just came out. And sorry, I hope this is not TMI for anybody. But I was just like, can we just stick more juice back in it? And they're like, no, sorry, that's not the way. Can we just, because you know, it heals on its own eventually, but like you can't refill your discs. But I can just totally imagine there being like healing for lithomorphs is like, cool, we'll just pump you fill them more like fluid, you know, whatever.
I love that idea. And I 100% think Timothy brought out this thing that looks like kind of a syringe and puts like what looks like an air, pressurized air canister in it. And like they put it in that pseudopod that had been ripped, and we see it kind of like inflate.
Yes.
You're definitely like putting some kind of goop in there.
Back in there,
supposed to help heal it or something.
Or like when they give, that reminds me of when they give like IV fluids to dogs, but, and then it like makes like a little pocket of, you know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah, I do.
There's not any room for it. Yeah, you kind of.
Right.
Lovely. So good.
Nice. So if it's okay, I will cut back to Dr. Long's office. And what's Atlas and Hope doing with all this new stuff that's popping out?
I feel like they're facing, they're back to back. Like Hope is looking at the screens, Atlas is looking at the table.
Right.
And Hope is like, Atlas, you got to see this. And I don't know if Atlas is like, Hope, you got to see this.
Hope, pivot. Can we just pivot? Why is this a buddy cop comedy now?
There's two whimsical characters, one slightly inebriated, the other one very curious, you know, get into hijinks, right? I love the idea. I don't
they
know
match
if
back and pivot.
Yeah, they just sort of both pivot to be like, whoa. And Hope's first is like, Alice, is that your brother?
Jay, they just look like parts to me, right? Like, I don't know who they belong to.
You don't know who they belong to, but you do know you have those same parts.
Okay. Wait, like they're identical to my body?
Right. Your shell, all your choices that you made when you made your character, right?
Oh, shit. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So it's a hot body. It's a dismembered body, but it,
yeah, I think the hotness sort of fades when the dismemberment occurs.
Because there are just like lips going places.
Hope's into you. She's not in a dismembered version of you.
That's playing hot characters is very important to me as like an RPG player, which is why it was so hot.
It doesn't look like you, but you know that it's all the same parts. That
You have a specific chassis. You have like, I think it's called like the Prime chassis or something like that.
Yeah.
It's a chassis that's like the perfect physical human body, right? Like, or an approximation thereof. And I'm guessing it's the same kind.
Yes.
So I would say like, it's not, not my brother, but it looks like the parts to either do some extensive maintenance work on me or make a replica of me. It's got all the same customizations as my body.
I mean, are you sure? Because your other brother sister said that she destroyed your brother, right? Like you have two brothers. You're part of the three head. There's three of you. Or at least, okay, sorry. You weren't there for this. After you left, Prometheus said, do you know why we're called Cerberus? And I was like, because you got bad breath? I don't know. I didn't say that. I said
she would have killed you.
Yeah, no, you're right. Well, she did try. I mean, to be fair.
Yeah, she did, right?
She really gave it her all. She really gave it her all.
She would have murderized you.
But she said there was three of you. You know, you're the three-headed guardian of Draco, of the underworld.
Did she say what the third one's name was?
She did not.
Jay, I feel like, yeah, I don't know, but I mean, she said she destroyed him, or her.
She did say that, yeah.
Yeah, so.
And I'm like watching the like battle footage on the monitors, and I'm kind of absentmindedly like, so either he's trying to clone me, which he might have the ability to do because he's been doing some really creepy work with AI, or it's my other sibling. Both are bad. They're equally bad.
I think you say that, and while you can't see her face being an AI, you know how her body moves. I think we all have signature movements, right?
Yeah.
You see Raven in the footage, right? In that battle footage.
Yeah.
I don't want Raven to like me anymore. It's Raven doing some fuckery.
Yeah.
I don't care if Raven likes me anymore. I'm also gonna hey, that's Raven.
I thought I recognized that ghost symbol, and I turn back to the screen. I'm like, I knew it had to be more than just Jan and Irdos at each other's throats. Like, they hate each other, but they've been in a checkmate for a while. Neither one of them is willing to take aggression. And everything I'm reading in the feed vine sounds like it's been, you know, World War 18 out there. And I'm just like, and this is it.
There's a third faction, and the third faction has to do with someone that we trust.
I mean,
should we spy on Raven next?
Trust Ed, past tense at this point. I mean, she's got this owl insignia on her. And she's like disappearing like a ghost. It's almost like they're like these owls that are ghost-like. sorry, Band of Blades reference.
Right.
Strash, you got me. You know, you're in my heart. We got to find out. There, I came here to stop this, to try and stop this fighting, and they're just escalating. I thought Dr. Long might have just been lying to me that he cared at all about this confrontation and was just using me because I was a pilot that could get him into the orbital station. But now I think it's even worse. I think he told me he was going to try and end the conflict, and or at least prevent it from escalating, and he's instead ramping it up.
So I mean, he saw this. Who suggests this? Very reluctant to suggest this. But maybe, we do beat up the old man. Think about it. Just maybe.
I think we got to get out of here.
Yeah, let's do that first.
And I think we should tell Dartha what's going on. I'm sure this is going to blow her mind. I really hate to interrupt her calm night, but I think we should.
Do you want to just swing by? You know where she lives? Should we just stop by her place?
Oh yeah, I know her place. Yeah, no, we can just go there.
Call up and then go to her place.
You know, she doesn't like the visitors late at night, but she might make an exception.
I mean, we'll tell her it's important. What she, you know.
Hopefully, she's not sleeping.
We'll wake her up. It's a pretty big deal.
Nice.
So then, do we have to like? What's the process like of getting the table to go back into the floor, getting all the screens to fold back away?
Right, yeah. Right.
Like we were never here.
Right. I think you can get everything to go back the way it was. Right. I think that's not a problem.
Yeah. Right?
You can have the VI like, do that, right?
There's just no sign of our presence. And
right, not to clean no up the tracks, right? You've got some digital tracks there, right?
No yeah. sign that the VI was tampered with.
Right.
It might show that these files have been downloaded, but he wouldn't know to check if the files have been downloaded because he wouldn't know anyone was in his office.
That right. makes sense. No, it does. I think that's a program role.
Okay.
But you could do that, right?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Right? This All is right. what you do.
Should I just roll?
Yes. It's still a 10.
Okay. Nope, I failed.
All right. So I think what that means is I think you do it, right? I think if he has any reason to go looking, right, to suspect that someone's been tampering in his office, he'll easily find it, right?
Okay.
But this is not a thing he'll go into, hey, everything looks fine. Why would I look around and see if anyone was in
right.
here? Because everything looks fine.
Okay, that's yeah. not what I'm cool with, but he just has no reason to suspect.
I think it's that thing where, like, we look at the room and we're like, cool, everything's cleaned up. And you're like, yeah, I purged last data logs. And, like, as we're leaving and the VI is like, Ed, you know, like, or, you know, like... You know, there's some little telltale.
I like that. I think that's the tell, right? I think that the VI is now Ed. And who called you Ed, right? Where'd you get Ed from, right? So I think that's the tell, right? Nice.
Okay. Is that okay, Dom?
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Cool. Ed with, like, lots of D's. E-D-D-D-D-D.
Yes.
Let's go to Dartha's little apartment place and just wake her up.
Yeah.
Nice. What I think is we will take a break. I think when we come back,
perfect.
We will open up in Dartha's medical bay, right?
Yeah.
I think everyone's around Dartha, in the med lab where she's kind of laid out on a special recliner bed or medical cart, whatever we call those things, made for her because a normal one wouldn't hold her, right?
Right.
And I think it's Timothy, and I think it's Atlas and Hope, right?
And I will 100% spend about 30 seconds describing what this bed looks like.
Nice.
All right, friends, we're going to go grab some water, stretch out, and we'll be back for part two of Stars That Number. See you in a sec. Sinclair's drone exploding, Dartha hiding under the chase, Atlas and Hope up to subterfuge. Man, this game just keeps getting better and better. I loved hacking the VI in Dr. Long's office. I loved discovering what Long and Raven had been up to, exacerbating the conflicts between Yon and Erdos, just as Raven was showing up to help Dartha. I love a table that is that uses its size, its metrics, its size, unit of measurement is number of bodies it can hold, and finding out all this stuff that Dr. Long has been holding out on us for so long about. Good stuff. And just I love how much depth that there is to the setting that the J has given it, all the things that are going on, and clearly seeing that we all have very different agendas. And although we're working together, there's lots of things that Dr. Long and Raven have been hiding from us. And I think we're just at the tip of the iceberg right now. So let's see if we can break off a few more pieces and uncover even more.